So I'm just looking to the Lord and looking at you. It's marvelous that you can have a time like this, that you do have a burden. Amen. And you would come together to seek the Lord how to go on. Amen. And we are about the same stage where you are. Maybe you're a little ahead of. But for the sake of blending, I thought it'd be good to come down. Not that I can render that much help. Maybe I can get a lot of help by asking you questions. I come and spy out the good land. I see a lot of ex-full-timers. Ben, Tim, Amy, right? And this one got away from California. we're one recovery.
Amen.
That's the marvelous thing about the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
It's one. This afternoon, I just came to just fellowship. I'm trying to get all the things what the brothers are doing here. They won't open up all their secrets yet. They're hiding their treasures. Anyway, by the weekend is over, I'll bring home some treasures.
Amen.
Secrets. I would say my burden here is to have a normal, a normal Christian life. Anything of life, it's very consistent, and whatever we do in life, it produces consistently. Activities may give you a little help now and then, but basically activities can be very dangerous because you may depend on that. You know, you live, let's say, how many more years will you live, Ben?
I hope 75.
Let's say you gain one good one a year. That's 75. And out of that 75, you have to believe at least 60% of them will gain fruit too. Be just like you. It doesn't seem much. But this is the Lord's way. Just the normal bearing of fruit. And we take care of the life flow. We take care of the fellowship among each other. And we will have, it looks like activity, but basically not activities. It's just a burden. We speak to a person. Because there's a burden inside. How many would like to bear fruit this year? Good. Anyway, I feel indebted that the Lord saved me. How many feel indebted? Then you're qualified. We are indebted to mankind that somehow the Lord reached us. And maybe I'll start today, this meeting, on our appreciation for the Lord's salvation is the biggest and strongest basis to preach the gospel. Once you lose this appreciation that you are saved, it's very hard to speak it. But when you see the things that are happening outside, those who are not saved, instead of judging, a lot of times the Lord checks me. That's where you'd be if I didn't save you. Why don't you pray for that person? That doesn't mean I'm always faithful on it, but I do have a realization that salvation is a great matter. And maybe because I got saved at the age of 31, not looking for him, he came looking for me. That even how low I may feel, I always can say, Lord, thank you for my salvation. Amen. Not only that, I got saved right into the church. Not looking for the church, not even praying, not even desiring to be a Christian. God brought me to his church. So this appreciation is built into me. And secondly, I would say, I got saved right on a campus. So that's the combination. Everywhere I buy a house, it's right next to a campus. Told my wife, let's not buy a house if it's not next to the campus. What for? Just a waste of time cutting the grass, painting that thing, and vacuuming it. For what? Vanity. But when you have somebody saved in your house, wow. That wood was made for God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Right? I was going to go into another line, but it seems that the more I speak, I'm going in another direction. Let's turn to Luke 10. You've heard this, but I'd like to touch this anyway. Some of you are younger. And this chapter shows, Luke 10, the Good Samaritan. And Brother Lee shares that the book of Luke shows Christ's humanity in the highest standard of morality. And when we say highest standard of morality, we think it's just being good. No, the highest standard of morality is God reaching man. What's higher than that? You tell me at this very moment, Richard, what is higher than bringing a triune God to another human being? There's nothing higher and more noble than to bring God to man. And here we can see the pattern, an example. And that's why you went to the training for, and maybe you'll go to Russia, huh? Because there's a lot of man that needs God. Okay? But man is all over the earth. They're even in California. Okay, let's read from verse, well, let me say 25 through 37, starting with the brothers.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?
What should I do? So we gotta make him clear. That's everyone's thought. I gotta do something. Right? Religion, Christian religion even. The New Jerusalem is very interesting. How many gates are there? 12, right? How many directions? That means no matter what kind of person, there's a direction for him. You don't have to change him. He is ready, just being a human being, to enter into this eternal God. And where's the street? Huh? The street is inside. There's no street outside. There is no standard outside. Just as long as a man opens he's qualified. He being a man, you know how I touch God's love? Just by the word. If anyone receives me, whosoever, can you tell me of anything that you can say that whosoever? Our gospel is to a whosoever. He said, well, this guy, he's coming from that direction. I don't like that direction. Praise the Lord. There was a direction for me.
Amen.
There was a direction for you.
Amen.
I knew when I read the Bible for the first time in my life, 31 years of age, it says, he came to his own, but his own received him not. Then I read the next verse. But as many.
Amen.
I said, what? That's me. I'm as many as received him.
Amen.
Not as many as worked for him, did this, do that, changed themselves. They can't change themselves. How can a sinner, constituted sinner, not sin? Right? My wife tried to change me. She almost got her head blown off. Maybe by mercy of the Lord, she saved me so that, you know. She must have been praying like Cornelius as a Buddhist Gentile. Change my monstrous husband.
Right.
Well, after I got saved, I think she shouted hallelujah before she got saved. Only the gospel, trying God, dispense into human being, changes a man.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Anyway, so where are we now? 26. And he answered and said,
you shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole strength and with your whole mind and your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. If you have to be like that, can you make it? After I got saved, somebody says, you shouldn't have been saved. Your heart is terrible, was. I says, well, I don't think I ever could have a pure heart before I got saved. My heart just loved me, number one. Second person I love is myself. And the third person is I. Me, myself, and I. If it's you don't take care of these three guys, you're not my friend. But praise the Lord, in salvation, he gives us a new heart.
Amen.
Nothing of ourselves. Okay. 28. Okay, 29.
But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Jesus, taking up the question, said,
by coincidence,
a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side.
And likewise also a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the opposite side.
But a certain Samaritan, who was journeying, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion.
And he entreated him, and bound up his wounds, and poured oil and wine on them, and placing him on his own feet, he brought him to the inn, and took care of him.
And on the next day,
he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and whatever you spend in addition to this, when I return, I will repay you."
Okay, now I'll stop right there. I think you all know this story. Once I read this, I realized this is a beautiful person. Here's the gospel. That certain man that's going down is fallen man. Every man, after the fall, constituted with a satanic nature, cannot go to Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of peace. Inside of him, everything is downhill. You may think some are okay, but everyone is going downhill. Even it says, put off the old man, right? And put on the what? What's the old man? Former manner of what? Life, right? The old man which is what? Corrupted? Being corrupted. It's like a rotten apple, and the process is going worse and worse. Every human being is going down. If you can see this, and we learned as human beings to hide, right? From the time man fell, what was his first action? He hide from who? Then he hide from each other. If you went to work or you go to the market and say, "How's everything today?" What would they tell you? Is that the truth? That's a hiding. No one would say, "Oh, well, I'm in trouble. Rebel will preach me the gospel." And then we train ourselves to smile, you know. We learned that from Hollywood. Every morning, miserable, getting up. Both sides of the bed is the wrong side. Right? Miserable. Not knowing. I don't know what we. I knew what I did. But soon as you walk out of the door, it comes Hollywood time. Light, curtains, action, and you act for 8 hours. Act to each other before God, and you don't want anyone to know you. You're the real you. So religion can't reach you. I used to have problems as a young man. Who do I go for help? The psychologist got more problems than I got. Who, as a human being, can help you? Who do you really trust? Man has no one he can trust. The gospel is, when he sees Christ coming out of you, you may not say Christ. You trust that person. The phenomena of the gospel is amazing. You meet a complete stranger. And you begin to speak about the Lord and he's open. In that 5 minutes, he puts his whole life in your hands. We are entrusted with the gospel. What a privilege. And what a privilege we can give another man God.
Amen.
And after he received God, he becomes your brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, I mean, you wouldn't take a gospel from me, a slant-eyed Japanese. But it's amazing. When I share the gospel, they forget about my slant eyes. They forgot about who I look like. The triune God.
Amen.
It's not like religion. By coincidence. You know, here's a guy wounded. Right? You went to Taipei, right? You found a lot of wounded people. Yeah, you are from Denton. I remember now. And your wife was pregnant, huh?
On the way
home. Yes, now I remember. Man is half dead. What do you do with a half-dead man? Be good. When the Bible says half-dead, it means half-dead. They may say, well, they look healthy. They're strong. Yeah, they're strong. Tell them to read the Bible every day. Strong to sin, but no power to do the things of God. You know, it's hard to get up for morning revival, right? How many have a hard time get up for morning revival? Huh? I used to know friends that, man, they won't get up in the morning. I had some Hawaiian friends too. You know, they live under the coconut tree. Sun going down, sun coming up. It's about the same. Just change the direction. Big report of a tidal wave. This is, well, I don't think they're coming. They set right on the sand. The wave comes right up. Jesus. We are like that. For the things of God, we're so weak. Ugh, the Bible is a morning revival. Ooh. This thing is 500 pounds. Oh, let's go watch the Dallas Cowboys. Huh? We're strong to sin, but helpless and dead toward God. So by a coincidence, here's Raul, half dead. Me and Ray are the two religious guys, you know.
I don't want to be religious.
Well, for now, we have
okay.
to just remember your past a little bit. By coincidence. You see the problems he got? Huh? Mm-hmm. What did they do? It passed on the opposite side. Religion is something you can tell everyone his problem, but there's no solution. He knows his problem already. He doesn't have to be strengthened by me to tell him, you're this, and you're that, and you're this, and you're that. He's half dead, right? I hated religion. Because they tell you what to do, but they don't do it themselves. That I'm that guy on the opposite side. Okay. Salvation is dispensing the triune God into another human being.
Amen.
And the secret is right here. But, 33, let's read that together.
But a certain Samaritan who was journeying came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion.
He was moved with what?
Compassion.
And he went back to heaven. And he came to him. Aren't you glad he came to you?
Amen.
You think if you had to go somewhere that you'd made it? You were saved where, brother? Why? How? While you were in your mother's womb, he was in your mother's spirit. He was your neighbor while you're growing up in your mother's womb. That's how close he was to you. Sometimes you were grumbling in your mother and he was touching your mother at the same time. So he was the one, the first neighbor he loved was you. You think that's an accident? That you're born in the church? He made sure your mother was in the church. She came in the same year I did. Right? I was a Buddhist and she was chasing flying saucers. Well, you talked about it a little bit. She was a good nurse, though. And Dave, I remember Dave. It's all God's plan. Now look at him. Stand up. Aren't you proud of him? Huh? Let's say if all of you may know, or we may, we have weaknesses, yes. What if all the young men in Irving is like him? You don't have to lock your cars. You don't need those expensive alarm system. It would change the whole city. Thank you. You better confess if you get proud now. Well, my case was the Lord left me out there on the string up to the age of 31 just to let me touch the vanity of this life. I had no way out. I had no desire how shall I say? I even told my wife not to have children. We're not going to have any children. Just forget it. Let's forget. There's no hope for my child. No more higashi from this source. Cut it off. But outwardly, I look like a good guy, happy. Inside, wounded. We're all wounded. And the gospel is the only thing, the only person, Christ, that can heal our wounds. So he saw him, was moved with compassion. Now I know you were in the Mormons, right? Yeah. See, so a Buddhist and a Mormon. What mercy. What mercy we are still in the Lord's recovery. So when you see a Buddhist, don't walk away from him. Oh, God loves you. He loved me. He came to him after he saw him and moved with compassion, bound his wounds, poured oil and wine. Okay? So here you see his whole process. He journeyed from the heaven. The very God of the universe journeyed down. See, the others passed by coincidence. And the word here, journey, is with a specific purpose. Everything that happens to us before that, man trying to do good to us, is just coincidental. But what God done to us, did to us, first by incarnation, he journeyed to us. And the whole principle of the gospel is journeying to where they are. I would have never received the gospel without God journeying to me. By the Lord's mercy, he journeyed to me right into my classroom and sat right next to me and began to pray for me for 2.5 months to 3 months without telling me. And I had no idea to be a Christian. I look at Christianity, I says, it's about the same as what we got. And some things were better. When they preached the gospel to me, I says, I used to go diving in the ocean. Saturday and Sunday. Some Saturdays, some would come around, preach the gospel to me. You know what I tell them? I had a defense. You know what I told him, Pat? How come you got more divorces in Christianity than what I mean in Buddhism? Pretty hard one to answer, huh? It wipes it all out. And as well, you may go to hell. I says, well, I ready to take my chances there. I couldn't take just heaven or hell. To me, if God created me and just throw me in hell, I don't want that kind of God. Of course, he had to have mercy on me. The proud young Buddhist. So he came, bound his wounds, is when he went to the cross. In 1 Peter, what does it say? By his what? Stripes, we are healed. There's a real healing due to what he has done for us on the cross. And my mother was wounded, dying. And only the blood of Christ healed her. We tried everything. We tried doctors, and she was chanting every day. And what kind of disease is when they wash their hands Yeah, continuously. Yeah. How do you heal that?
Therapy.
We send them to therapy?
We have some new drugs for you.
Drugs, right? Knock them out. They're half dead. Make them 90% dead.
Yeah.
Then they have no strength to wash their hands anymore. And we heal them.
No cure.
We tried everything. And I got saved and I got so happy. You were in the church, right, Pat? By that time. 68. You were in 67. Yeah, okay. Then 1 month later, I don't know any verses. I think 2 or 3. I started preaching the gospel. And first one got saved was my wife. Well, her was easy because she saw this monster make a change. Her testimony is, only God can change my husband. But inside is this monster. Only God. She couldn't believe that Jesus is God. That was her. She thought Jesus was a kind of philosophical idea somebody wrote down. Two weeks after I got saved, I invited the brothers from the campus to my house. Johnson, you remember? The Hungerfords. I don't think I met you yet. That was after. I didn't come to the meeting yet. Oh, yeah! Oh, that slipped out. Oh, I better not share that, though. Remember not the former thing. Well, I told her past now. She has the right. You reap what you sow. Then, I brought them home for dinner. We made a big dinner. My wife said, what do you want a big dinner? Who are they? I said, Christian friends. I'm praying with them. Praying with them? You? And she didn't say it, but I could hear her thinking. You praying? That's new. That's not under the sun. My husband praying? So at that time, the brothers came in. They were very straight and proper. And since you mentioned it, I had a hula dancing group. Musicians. And I invited them all together with the brothers. I wanted to celebrate my being saved. Is it proper to go invite hula dancers? You wouldn't preach the gospel to them, would you? You know what? The most sweetest thing that ever happened that night was none of the brothers that came judge my friends. They were my friends, publicans and sinners. And I know this was not religious. So my wife checked everybody out. And she told me later, just by the brothers coming, and the atmosphere in the house, she says, I believe Jesus is God. God, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, is manifested in the flesh. Peter says, our gospel, we show out the virtues of him. And we are called by and to his glory and virtue. 2 Peter. How do we see God's attributes shining as glory? It's through human being whose flesh. When Christ is expressed through another human being, it's irresistible. I could never take the gospel unless the God of glory appeared through another human being. At that point, when that brother preached the gospel to me, I was watching him for at least 3 months. I knew this person is the first one I ever met in my whole life that had something I did not have before he preached the gospel to me. The very God of glory who appeared to Abraham has appeared to me through another brother and sat right next to me, brooded over me like a hen, like the brooding spirit, to hatch life in my being. So when my wife, she saw me change, so she got convinced. Then we had the brothers over. Just looking at the brothers, she got saved. Never preached the gospel to her, according, quote, quote, gospel. A great light came and shined on her.
Amen.
And she never turned from that day. That's it. From that day, every Friday night, I've been inviting people over for dinner. And she never buckled one time. All kinds of people. Sometimes we had hippies all over my bedroom, my living room. Long hairs, you know. Barefoot. Come to the Lord's table. Barefoot. You weren't a hippie, right?
I was.
Oh, yeah, you was.
John Harvey cut my hair.
Oh, John Harvey. Now you better go cut his hair. Huh? They would sit in the front row, and you can see the toes going. At the Lord's table. And they'd be friends with each other. And I know two of them became good friends from different cities and a conference. And they were really buddies. They went back to the localities, haircut, shaved, they looked nice. They began to look for each other. They couldn't find each other. Aren't you glad? That made me so happy. To see men change. Anyway, my wife got saved. Dear wife. All she thinks about is how to go on with the Lord and for new ones. Thank the Lord, that was the Lord's plan. So we went to see my mother, who was wounded, washing her hands. I couldn't even touch her. If I touch her, she would feel dirty. She'd wash her hands. And dark, she said, son, I'm ready to die. And by that time, I was ready to say, I wasn't saved before that. You might as well die. It's too much trouble. And I hated myself. I couldn't love her no more. Hated everything. Yet acting so nice outwardly. So I went. I was just 1 year, well, 1 month in the Lord. And I knew a couple of verses. And I says, Mom, why don't you try Jesus? She still had her idols. The room is full of idols. She's been chanting for 60 years. Wounded, half dead, and there was silence. I thought she was going to die. Because for me to say Jesus, that means Buddha is off. Then I just begin to pray. He says, just follow me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Just like that, she said.
I receive you.
Cleanse me with your precious blood. You know, I taught her to sing the song right after that. There's power in the blood. I didn't know about the healing. She began to sing, there's power, power, wonder what healing. You don't know how happy I became. That is to honor your parents.
Amen.
She's alive today. She's 88. And she makes sure I call all the new ones. I have the meeting in my home. If they don't show up, she says, what happened to this one? What happened to that? She prays. She's in the Word. All she does is sing, get in the Word, pray, and take care of new ones.
Wow.
To man, she's finished. To God, that was her beginning. How can I now say, I don't want to preach the gospel anymore. My life, my wife's life, my mother's life, I'm a blessed man. She's the first one, not in time, but in our genealogy of Buddhism. She's the first to be saved from that tree. And she's alive and doing fine. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So every time I get bummed out, I look at my mother coming in the room. I says, what in the world am I bummed out for? Here walks a miracle.
Amen.
She would walk around the block and sing, there is power, power. She says, the first week she would sing that. And with tears in the eye, just not caring. A 62-year-old Buddhist woman got saved by the triune God.
Amen.
Singing, there's power in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Tears in the eyes. Huh? And then I didn't know any better. I says, Mom, I'm real busy. I don't have time to take care of all your other sons. You know, my brothers, we had five brothers. I says, Mom, all those you brought to the world is your responsibility to get them saved. All the boys got saved.
Amen.
The last one. She says, son, you call up the last one. He's now ready to be baptized. I said, how do you know? I was going to say, how do you know, Mom? You know. I just obeyed. Came down. We baptized him.
Amen.
He's in the church.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
She has fourth grade education. What qualification does she have to preach the gospel? An old woman? Just the thankfulness that she has been saved.
Amen.
He trains all the trainees that come through my house. Soon as she sees a new one, she's like a hound dog. What happened to this one? 1 year later, they didn't come to the meetings. She says, where is that one? Have you called? Now, woe is to me if I don't preach the gospel. It is a glorious gospel. So she got healed. And you know, she felt dark, real dark, before she got saved. I don't know if you heard about this, Pat. I know this brother I used to work with in the gardening crew. Doug Krieger. He's no more with us, but I still remember him. We were all dirty. We were, you know, mowing the lawn. And I had some equipment. So I had it at my sister's house. My mother was there, and she wasn't saved at that time. And I thought by that time she had a demon in her, or very much involved because of the chanting to the idols for all these years. That's where all the darkness were coming. And of course this brother didn't know anything. We drove in my truck to pick up the equipment, and he was sitting next to me. We were just fellowshipping, and he saw my mother. He said, is that your mother? She was taking a sunbath, and she was holding her hand like this. And before I could explain to him, he jumped out of the car, ran to my mother, and hugged her. And I went, oh. He went up. Hi, Mrs. Cushing. Even I, as a son, couldn't touch her. Here comes a complete stranger. And I was, oh. I thought, man, this is it. And we got the equipment, I drove out quickly. He said, oh, you got a real nice mother. I wanted to say, you dumb head. You know, I was young. I was just less than a month, maybe. I didn't say anything. After my mother received the Lord, she told me, where is that man? I said, what man? That came with you. I said, why? He says, when he touched me, darkness left me. When you bring the brothers, the church, the gospel is not by ourselves. Grab hold of my mother. The demons popped out. I love Christ and the church.
Amen.
As for me and my house, we will serve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right, Larry?
Right.
So, wow. Oh, you went to the Far East that time, 1970. I stayed back. How many from Eldon Hallwin? You're right. About 90. 90 of the strongest ones went. We're the youngest ones, we're left. They all went. I had to stay. And the Lord poured out on the church. We increased while they left. And my brother just got out of the service, the other one. He just went to the Lord, by the way, 3 months ago. 60, he worked at the college campus. It was vacation time. We had a meeting in the hall. 60 to 70 students and teachers came to that meeting. And the mayor of the city came. But he was they were touched by his life. I have to follow up on these. But what a feeling I had to know that he loved the Lord and he loved the recovery before he went. It's a difference. Before, when my Buddhist relatives died, I would weep. Just weep for everything, the living and the dead. No hope. But this time, when I miss him, surely. But like the Lord says, Lazarus, he's just sleeping. It's not the same kind of. It was a rejoicing. He's with the Lord. Anyway, one case where he came back from the service, and with his family, Dennis Higashi is his father. How many of you know Dennis? He was a rascal boy. And when they came back from the Far East, they were really excited at the airport. They were singing and everything. And my mother was praying for my brother and says, she was very wise. She says, son, I want you to take me to the airport. So here we go with Gospel Road, remember? Los Angeles Airport. Here comes the church in L.A. Lined up, and here comes the brothers and sisters. It's like the dance of two armies. What a sense we had. I mean, it's just the aroma, the fragrance. Anyway, am I boring you? You got a lot of flights. I can fly back right now. It's hard to prepare a message on this kind of burden. Because I don't know what to prepare on. Except it's my life. So she my brother went, and he's a dead Buddhist. So my mother says, come. And then they would stand in line. You were coming through. And everyone that came through, the saints would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you know, shake everyone's hand. But here's my brother. Hi. Hello. And my mother says, not like that. The next one come, you should say, hallelujah. So he went, hallelujah. He never stopped saying hallelujah. He got saved.
Amen.
That's the gospel to me. It broke all my concepts. Isn't hallelujah calling on the Lord?
Yes.
Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
He got saved. Then my brother had to run a restaurant in the north. He had already planned it out before he came out of the service. And the wife touched the Lord so much, she says, I don't want to go. She came to me, she says, what shall I do? He's going to go, take the whole family. I don't want to go. I says, don't worry, you just go. She went with him. 2 weeks, after 2 weeks, he says, whole family, pack up, we're going back. move back. And he's been my co-worker ever since. Friday nights, and he's a good cook. When we have feast, he looks what is short, and he'll cook that. Every Friday night, I don't ask him. He makes a big dish of plate, good for the students. Any new one I want to have for dinner, I can bring him anytime. That is part of the gospel. For the saints that open their homes, don't think this is a small part. This is a big part of the gospel. I use my house mostly for the gospel. So, then my oldest brother, he was a stubborn one. He just. I'm the kid brother. He looks at me like, you know, kid brother, what you got to tell me about? And the Japanese culture, you know, you're the youngest. You shut your mouth, don't say anything. But by the time I grew up, I'm no more Japanese. So my mouth was always open for the gospel. He would never come to the meetings, and he would never listen to me. So one day, my niece, who's in the church, says, I'm getting married to a brother. Could you get us married? And a light bulb went on. You know what I did? I says, let's change that whole wedding to a gospel meeting. And they looked at me shocked. All our relatives are going to be there. I says, I won't sign the papers otherwise. That's the only time my brother's going to be there. So he politically came there. We prayed for 8 weeks straight. He came in with his wife from Japan. You know, just looking. My kid brother, what is he going to do? John, the Lord gave me John chapter 2. Vanity, death. And the Lord says, you be as negative as you can be. I says, I want to speak on God's love. Eventually, my brother was sitting in the back. I says, the atmosphere was really something because of the prayer. And the couple, my niece and this brother, who now takes the lead in Long Beach, Kathy, this is Dennis' sister, really a serving one. They were just more interested in the gospel than they getting married. Now that's really something. She forgot about her wedding. She was more burdened for the gospel. For a sister to forget her wedding on her wedding day, that's a miracle. But the Lord's presence was there. And then you know what I told my brother? I'm the kid brother. I pointed to him. And you couldn't believe what came out of my mouth. You know, I want everybody to be positive to everyone. And the Lord this time said, you be as negative as possible. Everything's vanity. And I says, beside this, you are not my real brother. In front of 200 saints. Quiet. I says, these are my real brothers. He goes, then I said, the only way, in Matthew it says, if you confess the Lord's name before men, He will confess your name. And then you have to do it publicly, and you need to stand on your feet. I said it like that. And then he tried to fight it some more. You know who stood up? My mother, who got saved already, stood with me and stared my brother into hell. She says, like saying, this is my son. He just went up like a little lamb and called on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So if you're going to have a wedding, get somebody saved. The angels want to dance through. When one sinner repents, they say, hallelujah!
Amen.
At that time, we were all rejoicing. Heaven and earth. It's like an arrow went through his heart. You are not my... Second arrow. He got saved.
Amen.
We've been now so... All our brothers are in the church. Four of us. One is saved in Hawaii. He's not in the church. Our life, our relationship has changed to the uttermost. No arguments for all these years. Isn't the gospel good?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to see your friend saved? How many would like to see your friend saved?
Amen.
What campus are you on? Walker, Miss Walker?
University of
Texas. Oh, so you have houses there. You have the Ponders. You have, who else? Dalton. You have the Watts. You're surrounded by these hungry, hungry couples ready for new ones, right?
Hey.
How many new ones do you want?
A big house.
A big house, right? It's marvelous that we can have that kind of coordination. What's the time?
We got time.
We got time, right? You sure?
We got all afternoon.
Anyway, inside of us automatically, as we contact the Lord, the gospel is there. I don't want to go into any kind of techniques. I don't have any techniques. By the time I do a technique, it doesn't work the next day. Huh? Go to the woman at the well, how did he preach? Huh? When he saw the Pharisees, what did he tell them? Brood of vipers! To me, with a woman with five husbands and living with one not her husband, that's the one you got to call a viper. He never used the word viper. How did he preach the gospel to her? Give me a drink of water. Ben, I'm thirsty. Give me a drink of water. That was the topic. Daily necessity. You ever preach the gospel of water? Sometime I have to go out to a restaurant, take my wife out. You know, off all the hard work, I got to take her out once a week at least, you know? She cooks for me, she washed my clothes, she ironed my clothes. She got up 5 o'clock this morning to iron my clothes because we don't have time and she's half asleep. And she ironed my clothes. so I can be here. So we went to this place. I says, what kind of drink you want to drink? I says, pure water. I drink the water. And that was the topic of the gospel. I just want pure water from God. He goes, speak. You go somewhere, speak. You got a mouth. Just say hello with a godly hello. Amen. Don't go there. This sinful woman. But look how tender he is. If you knew the gift of God, one, and who it is that asks you for water, you would have asked of me, and I would give you living water. He used that very situation. He's genuinely thirsty. I use a lot of that. So normal. Use every opportunity. It's not now, it's gospel time. I've put on gospel. And then what? No more. Be instant, in and what? How many feel like it's out of season now? Oh, it's not season yet, brothers. When is the season going to come? It doesn't come. Just begin to speak. Just say hello to someone. Your genuine hello is a gospel. It's a God-man living. I enjoy that. I just enjoy going places and just talking to people. One time I met a guy on campus, older man, you know. I says, hi. He was walking. I says, I'm Howard. And I love the Lord Jesus. And he was ready to punch me. But I held his hand. And would not let go. I kept holding him. The angrier he got, I says, the Lord loves you. What's wrong with that? Now the guy came, he's angry with me. I says, just tell me honestly, why are you angry? I don't know. I know. And pretty soon I'm talking to him. And why are you angry? Did I make you angry? Did I speak something wrong? Or did Jesus do anything to you that would make you angry? We just speak to people. How many use credit card? This is Union Oil. I should have been using Texaco, right? Anyway. I went to my wife and I went to a garment place. And, you know, they got this name tag, Dawn. I said, your name is scriptural. Said, really? Until the day dawns. And the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh. And I shared with her about the myrrh is appreciating the Lord's death. She says, that's right. She says, and I found out she's a Christian. She says, that's why Nicodemus gave 100 pounds of myrrh. So we had a Bible study right there. Wow. How do you think I felt after that? You just go dispense right in the stores. Go to where they are. Another one, I went, and You know, before they used to have this credit card check, you know, they put in a button and then it takes a long time before you check out. It's okay. Nowadays they go. They go. That's it. I says, wow, that's quick. She says, it's really quick. I says, you know, the Lord can get in you that quick. She goes, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. The Lord can get into you that quick.
Amen.
And then I share my testimony, how the Lord got into me quick. I confess these days, not just for the wrongs I do, but to me, I confess, if I don't open my mouth, I feel, oh, forgive me, Lord. Anyway, I don't want to put a burden on you. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
How many want to kiss the Lord?
Amen.
Let him what?
Kiss me.
With the?
Kisses of
his mouth. For thy? And thy name?
Is like
therefore,
the
draw me. Draw me. Draw me.
Amen.
Get crazily in love.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And she would say, I'm sick with love. That's the gospel. Just like when you fell in love with him. And the Lord is crazier in love. The Lord says, you have ravished my heart. He's more, he's wiped out. We're sick with love. We have ravished his heart just by one glance of our eyes. He's that excited. I didn't think he was that excited until the book of Songs. Song of Songs. So, a sick one and a ravished one comes together. That's a Christian life. Maybe you don't believe me, huh? I better stop right here. So, basically is the gospel is just the appreciation of the Lord and being saved. So you could pray to the Lord and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Every day thank the Lord that you're saved.
Amen.
Will you do that?
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for predestinating me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for putting me in my mother's womb who was in the church already.
Amen.
You're Timothy. Right? And some of us have been around a long time before we got saved. We should thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Right? Ah, hallelujah.
Amen.
He's the physician.
Amen.
He's the bridegroom.
Amen.
He's the healer.
Amen.
He's the baptizer.
Amen.
He's the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
He's the coming one.
Amen.
And there's more.
Amen.
He's making me him.
Amen.
What good news. When I awaken, transfigured, life in our body, we got so much to talk about. You know, I'm extremist, you know. I'm sick with love. I like to write songs. So I wrote a verse on I'm sick with love. And on the Lord's side, I wrote on you have ravished my heart. And I thought I'd stop there. And I dove into the book. I got to write the whole book, a song on the Song of Songs. I'm up. I'm 12 hours straight. You know why? I'm sick with love. No cure. There's no cure for me. Too late. How many of you here are sick with love?
Amen.
I hope every one of you will be so sick with love. Let him kiss me.
Amen.
Wow.
Have you been kissed by the triune God? That's a good gospel. Have you been kissed by God? I've been. Look at this. Look at my face. This kiss has changed me.
Amen.
Have you been kissed by God?
Amen.
Better than going to heaven. Sorry, I didn't come prepared. So, my job's over, right? I can go now. You know, I must have been sick of with love to say yes. You know, he called. He said, could you come over and have fellowship? I said, oh, yeah, I'll come over. Blending, you know, yeah, good. I'll call you back. Second call. How many are me there? 80? Could you give a message, two messages? And then now it came to 3, and he's trying to make it 4. Praise the Lord. We're going to call him out there and squeeze him out like an orange. Anyway. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're in the recovery?
Amen.
Begin to open your mouth. Just say hello to people. Please say hello to your neighbors. Just talk to people. Be happy. Be interested in people. You know, I'm Japanese. I'm supposed to be quiet, right? I should be. But I can't. I hate being Japanese. You know that? But I love being God man.
Amen.
How many will just say hello to the people you shop and all that? Will you try that first stage? To find as many as you can. Hello, how you doing? Just start a conversation. Just start a conversation. Get interested in people. Listen to what they have to say. Okay? I'm glad somebody listened to me. I'm glad God came down to sit right next to me. All right? I better stop right here. What time you have? Time to go.
Yeah, maybe. You know, Pearl wrote that song, huh? Jesus, Lord, how I long to touch thee. I wonder if we could sing that. A lot of us know that by memory, huh? Yeah.